I want to talk today about second chances. On the front of your bulletin, there's a saying, and we modified it a little bit because what it said when I first pulled it down was, if you are lucky enough to get a second chance, don't waste it. Well, I don't believe in luck. I believe that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. So I've changed it to, if you are blessed enough to get a second chance, don't waste it. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I catch myself relying on God giving me a second chance. You know, there's a word for that. You know, it's like make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's what the Bible says. Huh. Well, no, God will forgive me. How many times have we done that? Well, God will just have to forgive me. Really? Do we take Him that much for granted? Sometimes we do. So I want to talk first off, we're going to start in Exodus 34, beginning with verse 5. And we're talking about second chances. So this is Exodus 34, verse 5, is Moses is on the mountain and God has him in the cleft of the rock. It says, "Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" So Moses hasted and bowed his head to the earth and worshipped. And he said, "Lord, if I have now found grace in your sight, O Lord, let me, Lord, I pray, go among us. Let my Lord, I pray, go among us. Even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." We understand that this was Moses talking to God about the children of Israel, but it fits for each and every one of us. God starts off by declaring that He is gracious, He's merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. God describing who He is. And Moses saying, "Lord, forgive us and go with us. Cleanse us." We can go back to the early parts of the Bible and find people saying, "Lord, Father, I messed up. Please forgive me and direct me." Moses doing it right here. Moses said, for the people. Moses, in fact, this is not the passage on the mountain. You get to be my age, your mind goes on vacation without you from time to time. You get a little confused. Okay. This is where God has said, you know, "I'm just going to wipe these people out and start over." And Moses says, "No, Lord, because if you do that, all the people around are going to say it's because you couldn't bring them in. You couldn't make a name for yourself. You couldn't use them to show your glory. That's why you wiped them out. That's why you brought them out of Egypt and into the wilderness so you could destroy them out there so nobody could see. But Lord, instead, go among us. Forgive us. And take us as your inheritance." As we come before the Lord, as we go about our daily lives, as we try to walk out this relationship with the Father, we stumble and fall. Every last one of us. There is not one that does righteous all the time. There is no one that is righteous all the time. The Bible tells you that. If it's written in stone and in tablets and in, you know, that's right. However, we can't be so complacent in that, "Oh, I'll never be perfect, so I'm not going to try." Rather, we have to sit there and say, "Lord, make me more like Jesus." Amen. I don't want to take that second chance and use it and rely on it to the point where, you know, God will just forgive me. The second chance is to give me an opportunity to humble myself again, to make me more like Jesus, to draw closer to Him, to let Him work in my heart and in my life. That's what our second chances are for. If you are blessed enough to get a second chance, do not waste it.
Amen.
Don't take it for granted. Romans 7, Paul talking. Beginning with verse 14. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." This is Paul. This is the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. He says, I have a problem walking this out. In the King James, it says, "The good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I also do." Like, twist your mind up. Paul says, I'm trying to do it. But as I try to do it, I find I'm not able. And the things that I hate, I end up doing. Verse 16, "If then I do what I will not to do," if I do what I don't want to do, I decide I'm not going to do anymore, but I do it anyway, "I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to want to is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. I want to do what is good, but I'm not able to." Another place Paul says, it is God that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He is the one that works in us to want to do what is right and to be able to do what is right. In and of ourselves, as Paul is saying here, I want to do what's right, but I can't figure out how. But God is the one that works in us to want to and to be able to. To grab onto that and to walk forward in that. Verse 19. "For the good that I will to do, I do not." What I want to do, the good things I want to do, I'm not able to. "But the evil that I don't want to do, or I will not to do, that I practice." I'm going to stop right here in this passage, but you get the gist. Paul is saying, look, I'm struggling with this. And it goes on to say, "Who will deliver me from this body of sin? I thank my God through Jesus Christ the righteous." We can continue to go forth, go to Father, continue to cry out for cleansing, cry out for forgiveness, and to direct us and to lead us. Because He is the one who makes us able. He is the one who guides us. But if Paul, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, the one who lays out in writing the doctrine, how to live as a Christian, he's not the only one who did, but he laid it out, and as James did, Jude did, John did, Peter did. They all did it. But Paul writes it out in most of the New Testament, explaining how to walk out this Christian life. And Paul is saying, I struggle with this. This becomes a problem in my life, but I don't give up. Still in Romans, if you go back to chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, Paul talking to them says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering?" Remember in Exodus, God said he was long-suffering. God said he was patient with us. He was merciful and gracious and good and long-suffering. So Paul says, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance?" God's graciousness, as we look at that, we see that he is doing it, that he can draw us closer to himself. If God wants to draw us closer to himself, there's a relationship that is valuable. Sometimes so many times in this world we doubt our own worth, doubt our own value, but recognize that Jesus Christ went to the cross, laid down his life for you and me that we could be reconciled to the Father. When we understand that, what is our value? We are so valuable that he was willing to shed his own blood. I don't know about you, that should pretty much wipe out any self-esteem issues. Not that I am so great in and of myself, but that God loves me so much that he would send Jesus to do that. And Jesus loves the Father so much he was willing to do that, to restore that relationship. So as we walk through this world, as we look at our shortcomings, as we face those challenges again and again and fall so many times again and again, recognize that God considers us so valuable that He went to great lengths to draw us to Himself. If you are blessed enough to get a second chance, don't waste it. As we're talking about second chances in our own lives, recognize also that we are supposed to forgive others as our Father has forgiven us. How many times do we say, yeah, I'm good with God, and that person over there really, really, really gets on my nerves? Guilty. Okay? Had a situation yesterday where something that I had said was brought back to me. I had told somebody something that they could have handled a situation a little more graciously. Trying to be nice. And then I really messed up, and somebody said, you know, as you said to me, you could have handled that a little more graciously. Yes, by golly, I could. But God is still at work in me. He's still at work in each and every one of us. We have these second chances because God is long-suffering. He is patient with us. But I shared a thing this morning on Facebook that somebody else is saying, people will say, God loves you, God accepts you just the way you are. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, that's incorrect. God accepts you in spite of the way you are because Jesus paid the price. But His desire is to make you more like His Son Jesus.
Amen.
He doesn't accept you just the way you are. He accepts you in spite of the way you are. He accepts me in spite of the way that I am. Because of what Jesus has done on my behalf. That He might make me conform to the image of His Son. He might make me more like Jesus. Each and every one of us more like Jesus. And you look, how was Jesus? Jesus believed in second chances, right? At least. Jesus told, you know, Peter said, how often shall my brother sin and I forgive them? Seven times? And I say not seven times, but 70 times seven. But think about this. Who carried the bag? You know what I'm talking about?
Judas.
The one who was a known thief was the one Jesus trusted to carry the money. Are we that gracious? Jesus, who knew what was in the heart of all men. Here, Judas, you carry the bag. Was it a temptation for Judas? Probably. Obviously, Judas had some other issues. But Jesus trusted him. What about when Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And when you are converted, go back and strengthen the brethren. We think about that. Jesus tells Peter, before the cock crows, twice you will deny me three times. Peter says, I'll never deny you. Well, obviously, Peter was wrong, Jesus was right. But after he was converted, after he fell, after he was converted, notice Jesus didn't pray for Peter that he wouldn't fall into temptation. He told Peter to pray for himself that he didn't enter into temptation. He didn't pray for Peter not to enter into temptation. He said, once you are converted, I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And once you are converted, go back and strengthen the brethren. Because Peter's faith in the Father was based on his own relationship. It wasn't based on what somebody else could do for him. So as we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ and we pray for them, we should pray that their faith doesn't fail. We should pray that the Lord would direct them. They should pray. We should pray for ourselves that we enter not into temptation. We don't pray for other people that don't enter into temptation. We pray for other people that no matter what comes up, that God is still at work. God is still drawing them. That their faith doesn't fail. And if their faith doesn't fail, once they're converted, once they go through whatever it is that they go through, they come out on the other side with a stronger relationship with the Father, which will then affect how they deal with other people. Has that happened in your life that way? It has certainly happened in my life that way. I've gone through some things. Many of us have. But having gone through it, I can tell you that God is real. God heals. Absolutely, 100%, no doubt in my mind. Why doesn't He do it every time? I don't know. Ask Him. One day I will know, even as I am also known, the Bible tells me. So one day I will know why God doesn't physically heal everybody that gets prayed for, or why it doesn't work in every situation, or why it doesn't, things don't happen the way we think they ought to. But if we went by my plans, we'd be really, really, really messed up. But when we trust the Lord who knows the end from the beginning, the Lord who knows not only all the answers, but all the questions, which we don't know either. When we trust Him to bring us through, then things work out. But as we go through things, as we go through trials, as we go through temptations, as we fail and get back up, because though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will not be utterly cast down. God continues to lift us up, continues to guide us because of His long suffering, because of His patience with us, because of His graciousness, His goodness, and His mercy. Because He is at work in us, we have a second chance. But if we rely on the second chance, we ignore the graciousness and goodness of God. We forget what we deserve. Oh no, He'll just give me another chance. At one point, I will draw my last breath. Each and every one of us will. At some point. When that point is, I don't know. I don't know that I want to know. You know? At some point, I will draw my last breath. If I'm always just banking on the fact that I'll get a second chance, how's that second chance thing going to work after I've had my last breath? The goal is to take and use what God has given me today to be a blessing today, to grow and to be more like Jesus today. If you're blessed enough to get a second chance, do not waste it. 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy 1, beginning with verse 12. Still Paul talking. Remember I said he wrote most of the New Testament? We're seeing a lot of Paul. 1, beginning with verse 12, says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe in Him for everlasting life. Paul said, the things that I did ignorantly. Things that I did because I didn't know any better. I did in unbelief. But He loved me so much that He has set me up as an example. Now this is the same guy who we were just reading saying, the good that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do, and the bad things I don't want to do, I keep doing. Same person. He said, God is doing something wonderful through Jesus Christ in my life. I thank Him that He counted me faithful and put me into ministry. He had a plan and a purpose for my life, even though I didn't understand what it was. I went about my own way, Paul's saying. Paul went around persecuting Christians. Paul was on his way to Damascus to round up the believers, to turn them over to the chief priest to be prosecuted, persecuted, killed. Whatever they were going to do to him. And on the way, a bright light shone from heaven. Knocked him off his horse. Those around heard a voice. Some said it sounded like thunder. Heard a voice. As Paul heard, or Saul heard, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? His life was touched and changed right there. Was he absolutely perfect? Uh-uh. He got up blind, not knowing what to do. He didn't even know how to do anything. And they led him into Damascus. And then they sent another brother over to him and said, go pray for him. I've got a plan for him. I've got something in mind for his life. Paul had that second chance. We all get. But God is doing wondrous things in us. And Paul says, he's made me an example. I think it's James that says God holds us up as trophies of His grace. As I say, God's saying, if you think you're messed up, look what I did with this guy. Look what I did with this guy. Each and every one of us need the second chances that come from God's love. We need God's work in us. We need God's plan and purpose working out in our lives. But we should be gracious and grateful for every one of those chances that come along. Not to take them for granted, but to recognize that God's long suffering and God's patience leads us to salvation. Final passage of Scripture, 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 13. Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, that's God's promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Because if we look around us right now, we don't see a lot of righteousness dwelling around us. But we look for a new heaven and new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot or blameless, and considering that the long-suffering of the Lord, of our Lord, is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. Peter says that the long-suffering of God is salvation to you. And God wants you to be diligent to walk in what He's given us. Peter, after you are converted, go back and strengthen the brethren. Each and every one of us, as we go through trials, as we go through difficulties, as we come face to face with our own shortcomings and have to get up and repent. Get up recognizing that our second chance is a gift from God. I tell people all the time, everything short of burning in hell is the tender mercies of God. Right? Because that's what we deserve. The wages of sin are death. Sin is death. And who here has sinned? Hands all around the room. Each and every one of us. Yet Jesus paid the price to reconcile us to the Father. So as we get up each new day, knowing that the tender mercies of the Lord are fresh and new each morning, as we get up and we go about our lives, as we face the day ahead of us, as we face our shortcomings, our failures, our sins, our missing the mark, every way you want to word it, our imperfections, know that God is not quite finished with us yet. He still has another plan. He still has a plan and purpose. He is still molding us and changing us. And as we get back up from our sin, as we get back up from our failure, as we get back up from being sharp with somebody or being not loving our neighbor as ourself, getting impatient with that person that cuts you off on the road or whatever the case happens to be, whatever it comes up, whatever comes up as we get back up from that sin, he who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin, the Bible tells us. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The sin is that which separates us from God. When we repent and when we get back up from that, recognize that it's a valuable, wondrous gift of God as a second chance to walk forward and treasure what God has done on our behalf, not take it for granted. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We know, Lord, that You are at work and that you are the one who works in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. that you are the one who places the desire in our heart, even, Lord, to be with you and to be like you. So, Lord, lead us and keep us. And, Father, so often when we fall, Lord, as we get back up, help us, Father, to remember that this also is a great and precious gift that is leading us to salvation, that is leading us to sanctification, that is leading us to a new life, that is making us more like Jesus. That you be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. And we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.